You are now tuned in to the Eagle Sports Zone.
Brought to you by Premier Bet Namibia Totes. Create your account now at premierbet.com and use promo code Namibia264. Premier Bet, win big, win now.
Welcome, welcome, welcome to all the Eagle FM listeners. You are now tuned in to another great edition of the Eagle Sports Zone. Brought to you by Premier Bet Namibia. Use promo code Namibia264 right now to create your Premier Bet account so you can start winning big. As usual, I'm your host, Hende. I will be with you until 8 p.m. this evening. We have another exciting edition of the Eagle Sports Zone ready for you. And as always, the Eagle Sports Zone is Eagle FM's in-house sporting program where we discuss all things sports. We like to dive behind the curtain, behind what we normally see on and on the field. We like to look at the things that happen behind the scenes that make what we see on the field possible. So that's everything from your sports marketing, your sports psychology, your sports governance, your sports infrastructure. All those great conversations is what we like to have. And today on the Eagle Sports Zone, we are going to discuss, in part, one of Southern Africa's more sad stories when it comes to sports, the rise and fall of a great institution over in Mzansi. But we'll get to that in a few moments. Before we get to that, as usual, make sure you're following all our social media pages. That is Eagle FM Namibia. That's on Facebook. That's on X. That's on Instagram. That's on LinkedIn. That's on WhatsApp. If you'd like to follow our WhatsApp channel, simply send a WhatsApp message to 081-200-4144. That's also how the number you can message if you want to be receiving the Villager newspaper every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday. That's 081-200-4144. Make sure to save the number as a contact so you can get the Villager every Monday, Wednesday, Friday, bright and early. Include your email address as well if you'd like to receive it via email. And if you'd like to follow our WhatsApp channel for on the minute update on the latest and greatest of information happening, not only in Namibia, but the world. Now, you are tuning to a live broadcast of the Eagle Sports Zone, but if you, for whatever reason, happen to miss last week's broadcast or any other broadcast on Eagle FM that has happened before, that has aired, then fear not. We are here for you. All you have to do is download the Eagle FM mobile application that is free to download on the Google Play Store as well as the Apple App Store. And once you download the application, you'll see a section titled Podcast. That is where you can catch up on every single broadcast that has aired on Eagle FM, whether that was yesterday, whether that was last week, whether it was last month, last year, 2 years ago, 3 years ago, 4 years ago. They're all available for you in the podcast section. You can listen to at your own pace, whenever you want, wherever you are in the world. You can listen to them over and over and over and over again. And also on the Eagle FM mobile application. This section, by the way, is also available on our website, which is www.eaglefm.com.na. But as I was saying, also on the mobile application is a beautiful digital rotating billboard that is there for you to interact with that will give you access to all kinds of great information. That is your census reports, that is your African constitutions, that is all kinds of reports from the Bank of Namibia, that is all kinds of reports from the Namibia Statistics Agency, from the World Economic Forum, from the World Bank. So not only will the Eagle FM mobile application allow you to listen to your favorite talk radio station wherever you are in the world, greetings to all our listeners from all over the world, that is from South Africa, that is from Australia, that is from China, that is from the USA, that is from the United Kingdom, that is from Spain, that is from Brazil. Wherever you are listening in the world, thank you for tuning in and for choosing Eagle FM as your favorite talk radio station. Now, let's get right into it. We are going to start with some local football. We're going to start with some local football that is in the Namibian Premier League. These were fixtures that took place yesterday. There are fixtures taking place right now that I will update you with in just a moment. But yesterday we had Blue Waters taking on 11 Arrows. 11 Arrows taking that one 3-2. Julinho Athletic taking on Rundu Chiefs. Julinho won that one 2-0. You had Life Fighters taking on the Mighty Gunners. Mighty Gunners taking that one 1-0. Okahanja United up against Bucks Buccaneers. Okahanja United taking that one 3-1. And then towards the top of the table, FC Ongos and UNAM FC faced off and ended in a 0-0 draw. Defending champions African Stars took on Kumasi Nampol, and Stalile took that one at 2-0. So after yesterday's fixtures, the Namibian Premier League table is as follows. You have African Stars in first place on 32 points. Mighty Gunners in second on 30 points. Eshoga Chula Chula on in third place on 30 points as well. And then FC Ongos in fourth on 25 points. UNAM FC in fifth on 25 points as well. In sixth place, you have 11 Arrows on 23 points. In seventh, KK Palace on 21 points. In eighth, you had Blue Waters on 20 points. In ninth, Kumasi Nampol on 19. Bucks Buccaneers in 10th. Okahandja United 11th. 12th place, Young African in 13th. Finally, out of the relegation zone, that is Julinho Athletic on 14 points. And the relegation zone starts with the Rundu Chiefs on 14 points, Life Fighters on 14 points, and then Tigers at the bottom on 12 points. So only 4 points separating last place and 11th place. So each weekend things can change very quickly in the Namibian Premier League. And looking at today's fixtures, if I can just consult my sources. At the moment, you have the Northern Derby. KK Palace up against Chula Chula right now. The latest update I have for you in that fixture, it is 0-0 in the second half, but Chula Chula did receive a red card. Michael Jonas, aka Bwebwe, received that red card. Yes, that is the only result I have for you. Just double check. As it stands from today's fixtures, there's actually only two fixtures taking place. Only two fixtures taking place today, and that is KK Palace against Chula Chula, as well as Young African up against Tigers. We'll see if we can get the final score of that fixture. So only one round of matches taking place this weekend. That is round 16 of the Namibian Premier League. Don't forget, the line in our studio is 0832-888-401. That's 0832-888-401 if you'd like to call in, chime in with any thoughts or comments or questions. And according to my sources, the Northern Derby that's currently taking place at the Oshakati Stadium is in front of a packed stadium. So as things continue to develop in that fixture, we will keep you up to date on the Northern Derby. In other local sporting news, you had the National Road Championships, that is cycling, the Nedbank National Road Cycling Championships taking place over this weekend. It started on Friday with the individual time trials, as well as the road race taking place today. And the results are as follows. The overall winners for the men, you had the youngster, the young phenom, the cycling sensation, that is Roger Surin, 18-year-old, finishing in first behind him. Is 2024 Olympian Alex Miller, and then in third place, the 2018 national champion, that was Martin Fryer. The overall standings for the women was Anil Krief taking the gold, the youngster Delcia Janssen van Vuren taking second, and in third place, Belinda van Rijn. The elite men's category was Alex Miller in first, Martin Fryer in second, Tristan de Lange in third. Elite women's race, which was 116, the men's elite race was 165 kilometers, on the elite women's category. 116 kilometers, as I said, was Anne Grief, Belinda van Rijn in second, and Monique Duplessis in third. And on the junior side of things, you had Marco Thiel finishing in first, the 17-year-old, Christian van der Vesthuizen in second, and then Sean Lowe finishing in third. On the junior women's, that only had two participants, actually, and Rosemary Teal finished in gold, with Bianca Nell getting the second place in that one. And now on the other side of this brief commercial break, we will continue with some local sporting news before we cross over to some international sporting results, and then we'll get into our discussion for the day. We will be right back.
My friend, why do you seem so worried?
Ace, I am planning an event for next weekend, eh? And I don't know how to best get people to hear about it.
Saima, don't worry about those small things. Contact Eagle FM today. Eagle FM has a dedicated team that can travel anywhere countrywide to broadcast live at any event, such as a promotion, organizational launch, anniversary, wedding, funeral, political or traditional and church events, and basically any event that you wish to broadcast on a national level. Call them now and talk to Monica at 081-270-3727 or the office number 083-288-400. Eagle FM, the eye.
You are now tuned in to the Eagle Sports Zone.
Brought to you by Premier Bet Namibia Totes. Create your account now at premierbet.com and use promo code Namibia264. Premier Bet, win big, win now.
Welcome back to the Eagle Sports Zone. Now continuing with our local sporting news. The Davis Cup, that is tennis, took place, or qualifications to it rather, took place, where Namibia played against Estonia. Namibia went down or lost 3-0 to Estonia in the World Group 2 playoff tie. And as a result, they will now look to fight their way back to the group next year through the Africa Group 3 playing format, which they were able to do last year. So our tennis national side looking to come back in the Davis Cup. And this was doubles, by the way. Namibia was represented by the pairing of Stijn Dippena and Cody van Schalkwyk. They lost 6-3, 6-4 to Estonia's Mark Lajal and Johannes Siemann. This took place earlier today. And then we also had the Kasselite Trusco United Tennis Side Rugby Tournament, which acts as a sort of a precursor to the rugby season, when the rugby Premier League season, I should say. And in the Premier Division, the Trusco United rugby team celebrated their first triumph since 2016, when they beat last year's winners in the final, that is the FNB Wanderers Rugby Club. And that is all we have. Well, actually, we have some more local sporting news in the Southern Stream First Division, back to football, where you had Friends FC taking on City Boys. That ended 1-1. The Young Brazilians, who were in the Premier League last year, taking on Mariental Soccer Club. That ended 1-1 as well. Oranje Mond took on Quiver FC. Quiver taking that 1-3. Try Again FC and Date 11 played as well. That ended in a 1-1 draw. And then Orlando Pirates, the famed Orlando Pirates. When are you coming back to the Premier League, Pirates? They took on ONL Ramblers. Did not know Ramblers now goes by ONL, but ONL Ramblers. Pirates took that one, 1-0. And then Blue Boys, who were also in the Premier League last year, lost 1-0 to Celtic FC. In the Comas second division, okay, you had a Rockstone taking on Windhoek United. Rockstone taking that one 4-0. Young Generation and Nast FC played to a 1-1 draw. River Heights thumped Patriots 6-0. DTS beat Swallows 2-1. And then the once mighty Black Africa, which will relate to what we're going to listen to shortly, but the once mighty Black Africa lost 4-0 to Docky Smith FA. And those are the results we have from the Commerce second division. And on the other side of this brief commercial break, we're going to listen to what we have planned for today. Don't forget, you can always join the conversation by dialing 0832888401, and that is 0832888401. And actually, before we go to a commercial break, let us talk about the English Premier League, where we had several fixtures taking place. Round 25, the 9 of the 10 fixtures have taken place, with the final fixture that is Manchester City up against Liverpool taking place in approximately 9 minutes, with major implications for the title race as well as the top four race. But the weekend started off with Leeds United on Friday taking on Nottingham Forest. Leeds taking their 1-3, 0. And then the Red Devils on fire form since firing their manager Ruben Amorim and former player and former KTEC manager now Michael Carrick in charge. The Red Devils have now won 4 league games in a row, with a victory over Tottenham Hotspur 2-0. Bruno Fernandes and Brian Mbeumo on the score sheet for the Red Devils in that fixture. The Gunners continued their title charge with a 3-0 victory over Sunderland. New striker Victor Gyökeres with a double, as well as a goal from Martin Zubimendi. The Blues, Chelsea beat Wolverhampton Wanderers 3-1, thanks to a first half hat-trick by their talisman Cole Palmer. And as I said, well, Aston Villa played for a 1-1 draw with Bournemouth United. And as I said, Manchester City taking on Liverpool in just a few moments. Of course, if things change in that fixture, I will keep you up to date. But as the table stands today, you have Arsenal on 56 points, Manchester City on 47. So a must-win fixture for the citizens. Otherwise, they will surely give up the title to the Gunners, with 9 points being a major, major distance to claw back. Aston Villa still in third place on 47 points. And then the Red Devils in fourth on 44 points, and Chelsea in fifth on 43. Defending champions Liverpool also need to win tonight if they want to certify their place in the Champions League next year. They are currently on 39 points, level with 7th place Brentford. Over in La Liga, you had Barcelona take on Mallorca. Barcelona winning that 1-3. Real Madrid are in action today against Valencia. And as things stand, Barcelona have a 4-point lead over Real Madrid at the top of the Spanish top flight division, on 58 points, and Real Madrid on 54 points. So that's what we have for European football. The citizens up against defending champions Liverpool in just a few moments. We will keep you up to date with that. But before that fixture begins, we're going to take a short musical break. We're going to hear from a few lovely sounds from none other than Pablo Diablo with Second Half. Thank you.
fast in Kanji, let me put style, it's a game style. In a second half, until I put style, it's a second half, was fast in Khan. Was fast in Kanji, let me put style, it's a second half. Put a bottle on a public park, out of the dark. We are going to miss the shot slowly, surely. In the Euro game, you can put it on show, can be not so shame. Looking at a young people, I'm going to come fame, I've been placed on the man. Finish up in the gap, I'm only in the name, you can show you rap. You can think in games, it can be back out loud, too proud. I can't get a register, business, many time, make me get shit down. People get their breakdown, heavy this get knocked out, it just makes sound. I take the lyric up, give it to your music, I'm merry go around. Oh, catch it, catch up on rap, man. It's a musician, no come as my play.
You are now tuned in to the Eagle Sports Zone.
Brought to you by PremierBet Namibia Totes. Create your account now at premierbet.com and use promo code Namibia264. PremierBet, win big, win now.
Welcome back to the Eagle Sports Zone. The fixture between Liverpool and Manchester City has officially kicked off. And it is already 1-0 for Liverpool. I'm joking. It's still 0-0 in that fixture. If things change, I will keep you up to date. What I can give you an update on now is that the Chula Chula and KK Palace fixture has ended in a 0-0 draw. So that means African Stars end the weekend on the top of the table. Chula Chula trailing by 1 point. So yes, the defending champions are back on the top of the table. But with that said, I would like us to listen now to a conversation that includes the chief operating officer of the South African Premier Soccer League, that is Mr. Ronnie Schloss, Professor Ronnie Schloss, in a conversation that he has centered primarily around the rise and fall of Bidvest Wits. Now, after the conversation, I'll break down why exactly it is I wanted us to listen to this, but let's take a listen to what Professor Ronnie had to say in this conversation that fits the Namibian sporting context almost to a T. So let's take a listen to that and then we'll be back after this.
White players and put them in the middle of a hostel in KZN. I mean, where were you when you heard the news that Wits would be sold?
That was the death of Bidvest Wits.
But how could you close Toyando Stadium?
Came under a hell of a lot of
Prof, thank you once again for this sit down exclusive to us here at Behind the Boot with Super Journal. I want to take you back a little bit from your, you know, early playing days that were hampered by a knee injury and into administration, because you know that's how we know you now. But how do you sort of find your feet in that space to eventually being settled and being comfortable in what you do for a living?
Well, the thing is, I was a student at Wits, and it was a student club which played in the second division of the old NFL. And as I mentioned earlier, it was in complete chaos. It had, I think, 3-4 teams. And I got onto the committee, and my objective was to build up the club to a respectable club that nobody sort of laughed about, because there were too many funny things going on, yeah. Put it that, strange things going on. Yeah. And eventually I became chairman of the club, because what was the nice thing is that the previous chairman had graduated, so I could move into that space. Mm. And I was at the university as a student for 5 years, because I did a BSc honours and things like that. So I spent a lot of time at the university, and we got the club going. I got a few people who assisted me, and we started building up the club from grassroots. And we started with the team that we had in the old combination league, the NPSL, when all the leagues came together. Mm. And that team was the baby, my baby, because we wanted to get promotion.
Yeah.
And we spent quite a few years trying to get promotion, built up the club. What we did is we started junior sections. I got permission I think this is important, that when I went to see the Vice Chancellor, when Wits decided to play in the NSL First Division, the university were most perturbed. How could you have a professional team?
Yeah.
So eventually I had to commit myself that it wouldn't, to them, that it wouldn't cost the university anything, that we were guaranteed all the costs, etc. All they had to do was give us facilities. They were very wary of it. The university in those days was, main interest was rugby and rowing.
Yeah.
And then soccer didn't feature at all. We had few black students at university, but they all were there on special permits and they didn't...
Really? Okay.
Yeah, you had to get a... You couldn't just...
Yeah, to obviously study.
Home affairs had to give you permission or whatever. And to change the situation, I got permission from the university to start development group. And we started developing kids from under six right through to under 19. That became an open club. And we did that at Marks Park, which was the university grounds. Mm. Now, this was the most fantastic thing, because the word got around that here's a team playing in the top league with Bloemfontein Celtic, in those days Bloemfontein Celtic, this and that, even though it was in the first division. Mm. And the kids started coming from all over. So we used to have kids coming from, say, Soweto, getting off at Bloemfontein Station and walking to Marks Park, which was a long walk.
100%, yeah.
And we encouraged that, and we had a very multiracial group. All the teams were mixed from under six upwards. And that is how we started developing a lot of players. Gordon Ewan came from the development. Mm. Eric Tinkler came from development. Yes. There's a whole lot of the later Gary Bailey played in the development teams. And that development section was the best thing the club ever did, because what happened is that a lot of the guys who played in the juniors then decided, hold on, let me get a matric and I want to go to university. So that's how the senior team, which played in the old NPSL, got its players, which were mainly university students, coming up through the ranks. And very successful. Most of the players came through that academy. Mm. And over the years, that academy developed with my son Jonathan, who was at Wits. And they actually had a whole lot of players who lived in Rez, went to lectures in the morning, had private tuition in maths and things like that. And the idea was to get them through university so that we had the required number of students playing in the team. We hit a snag one year we didn't have a goalkeeper, and we'd reached our limit. And I remember going to the vice chancellor and saying, I've got to bring in an outside goalkeeper. The ones we've got are not of the caliber that are going to sustain the team. And he wasn't impressed, but after a lot of persuasion, he allowed us to. And then we brought in outside people to play in goal. And then slowly they allowed us to evolve the team into, let's say, three, four outside players. Mm. And the club was developed with its youth policy and the encouragement of getting students to go to the university. I think a good example is John Kamitis. He never played in the junior section, but he came and he went and played for the university team. There's a whole lot. Zain Moussa came through, played for the juniors.
Went, a lot of big names, yeah.
Went him. Mike, not Mike Mangena, Mike
Ntombela.
Ntombela also. So we brought these young guys in, and they enrolled for courses at the university.
How did you navigate the political landscape at the time? I imagine it must have been a hell of a nightmare to try to unite, you know, the different racial groups in that era, especially when football was not a prominent, I mean, maybe in the townships prominent, but
actually, the youngsters got on. Really, there were no problems at the under sixes, eights, and tens, and whatever it was. There was never a problem there. The big thing was that when we got into the Premier League, the first division of the NPSL, life became more difficult because we had to travel. And to give you an example, we would travel to Bloemfontein by bus, and we would land up at a Kentucky. We had to feed the guys because we did it in one day. Drove down, played, came back, didn't sleep over. And we stopped at a Kentucky, I think it was in Potch, and the team wanted to order and sit down. And the owners of the thing said,
you can't
go outside.
You come here.
There's an opening, and you can order takeaways. So the whole team pulled out. I'll never forget them. The team stood together as one unit. And we had problems with the police. Let me give you an example. As a white, you needed a permit to go into the townships. And I was arrested with my two sons, Jonathan and Neil, who were, one was six and one was eight, and we were taken to not Orlando, I can't remember the other police, Morocco, police station, and charged with being in the township without a permit. And these were the strange things that you had to do. And yet we played there. And then the funny thing is, there was one of the cabinet ministers was the Minister of Sport, Piet Koornhof, who tried to encourage us to play. He said, just go and play. But so we had on one side this, and then we had the police, no, you can't do this. And that created problems. There were problems I faced from certain of the white community. We were threatened because, let me give you an example of what happened. I said we were going to play a black player. This was the first, there were no black players in the Wits team.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And the team that was playing was still in the white league. Sorry, I'm just going back a bit.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And I said, we're going to play a black player. And the police didn't like that idea.
I can imagine.
And we played him. But they couldn't do a thing because the university was private property. And we played, I think, against Arcadia. And Arcadia, who also played in the same league, played a black player as well. And slowly the things broke down. And it was interesting times because I would get phone calls at 2, 3 in the morning calling me this and calling me that. And we had to switch off.
As in like death threats?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And calling me
all sorts of names.
All sorts of names. And But eventually people got tired of doing that. So you carried on. But I must tell you about an incident. We had Paddy Crearan. He was an England captain, played for Man United, and we brought him out as a guest player for the university because we were playing against the Argentine University national team. And we played them in Johannesburg, in Cape Town, I think. And he stayed with us for a while to play in the league. But this was at the time of the Soweto riots. So we went to play Chiefs at Orlando, and he had his camera, and he'd never been to Soweto, and this was something he was going to send home. I'm in Soweto, this, and he was taking pictures all over, and the police stopped the bus, and they wanted to arrest everybody on the bus for first of all, not having a permit, and Paddy Crearan, they wanted to arrest for taking pictures because it was at the time of the Soweto riots. Mm. And they took his camera away. And
were you ever jailed, Prof?
Yeah.
For how long?
It was only for a day.
Okay.
Because my father-in-law at that stage was an attorney.
Ah, okay.
And he got me out there. And in fact, it was while I was at the university, the Hillbrow police came to arrest me because the guy going back to this black player who Vitz were going to play, and that I was breaking the law, and he came across this thing. You can't do anything. Mm. This is private property.
So what do you make now of, I mean, thinking back of all the stories, what you've been through, the league, the PSL as an entity, what it is now, you know, the strides that, you know, yourselves and Dr. Ivan Khoza have made to get it to what it
is. Well, went through, people don't realize what went on in the background. You know, most people just went to a stadium and watched the game. And I must mention this, both Ivan and Kaiser, when we got into we were playing under the NPSL, remember? And when we got into the first division of the NPSL, I said to them, I need black players. Mm. And Kaiser and Ivan lent us some black players. Mm. So that when we went into the townships, we weren't just a white team. Mm. And we were generally, in the townships, you know what, we had no problem. I don't ever remember having a major incident in the township. There was one incident when we beat Chiefs, I think, at Orlando. And
beating Chiefs will always cause some drama.
And we couldn't get out of the stadium. I don't know if you're the old Chiefs, old Orlando Stadium had a big safe door.
Yeah, I remember.
And we had to wait for the riot police to come to get us out of the stadium. And that's the only bad incident we had. Mm. We were really no problem. The one time African Wanderers, we played at Glebe.
Never heard of it, but okay.
Glebe Stadium in Durban. Is it
one of the renamed stadiums now?
No, it's demolished old, now. Probably demolished. Was that in the hostels?
Yeah.
Right in the middle of where the hostels were.
So you took a group of white players and put them in the middle of a hostel in KZN?
Yeah. Okay. And we played African Wanderers there. And getting out, we had quite a few missiles thrown at us. But we managed to get out. But that was the one incident. And the worst one was at the Chiefs game, where we were coming out after the police had opened the gates. Mm. We were coming out of the stadium, and there were crowds throwing things at the bus, and we had, I don't know how many windows smashed, and all the players were lying on the ground and things like that, with the cushions, the seat cushions over there. But those are the only two incidents, bad incidents I remember. And the rest was straight sailing, and eventually we had like a supporters club in Durban and in Cape Town. And
build momentum, yeah.
Yeah, and that built the club up. And I think that we were the first white club ever to go into play in Soweto and things like that. And we were accepted. There was no problems in the community. The only other thing, it was because we'd beaten Chiefs. That was the only thing. But otherwise, there were no comments.
It's chalk and cheese now, keeping clubs afloat versus back then. What was the funding model at the time?
There was no funding from the league. Mm. You had to fund yourself. That's why I mentioned we drove by bus as much as possible, because it was a lot cheaper than flying. And we had, being fortunate, we had a lot of ex-graduates who were directors of companies and that. And we had our first one was Ballantyne. Oh, no. First sponsor was Encyclopedia Britannica, which matched the university.
Yeah.
And they gave us quite a big sponsorship, and that went on for quite a few years. And after that, we had Ballantyne Whiskey and so on. And then we built up and we got sponsors, one of the big insurance companies sponsored us. They sponsored bursaries for the students and so on. So we managed to keep afloat financially. We didn't have the money that most of the other clubs had.
Mm.
But because we had a lot of students, they were willing to be able to get a bursary.
Yeah.
Meant a hell of a lot to them.
Yeah.
So a lot of the students who were playing in the team had bursaries, and they got what I would call a pittance in that days, because they didn't get anything like the other clubs, but they played, and we gave it everything. And if you go through all the history of us in the old NPSL, we were always near the top, fighting Chiefs and Pirates. Mm.
Even in the later stages when it was Bidvest-Wits,
yeah,
that was always the case, apart from the 1 year where the club got relegated. I mean,
that's right, yeah.
Which prompts me to zoom in a little bit into that. Where were you when you heard the news that Wits would be sold, it would be no more, after all the work that you put in, and even Brian Joffe coming in and making the club?
The problem is Brian Joffe had resigned as chairman of Bidvest, and I don't want to mention names, yet there was a particular gentleman who wasn't keen on football. He wouldn't come to a football game.
I think I know who you're talking about, but yeah, okay.
And his interest was rugby and horse racing.
Yeah.
And so when the sponsorship came to an end, they said, boom, and they just told us. And I said, give us time to get another sponsorship. And they gave us 48 hours.
Hours.
Impossible. We had a potential sponsor. We negotiated with sponsor. But we had to get the sponsor to have a board meeting to agree to spend that sort of money. Mm. And
so essentially, COVID was just an excuse. The real reason is that they were not interested in sponsoring a football club.
No, that they didn't see it as their sphere of interest. Mm. There were no people. The lady became a chairman. And
yes, I remember when they announced her. Yes.
Yeah, and no interest. I think the interest was more in trying to see how they could get contracts with government and things like that. Mm. And I think we weren't the tool that would get them their end objective. Mm. So we parted. I was really upset because they could have given us a year's notice to enable us to do things properly. Mm. But it was really at the last moment, the season was at the end, mm. that they announced that they weren't going to continue with the sponsorship. The sponsorship had come to an end. As I say, Brian Joffe was no longer the chairman. He was
win big, win now with Premier Bet Namibia Totes. Get a 200% sports bonus of up to 2,000 Namibian dollars. Sign up now at premierbet.com and use promo code Namibia264. Premier Bet, win big, win now.
Mono pareka ongatu ya randuwa kwa pamwe na Paratus. Dieto mono mite oku chapula emangulo kole data, di na omangabeko. Kwa shimali wa ashikeshe edurada na mibi obafiriri ya tano, omilongo uinanano. Ouno mito yo uwa mafiku eri omilongo natu ule wo shinano, che megabit onlongo na nanomo sekonde. Kashi ni wapahe na mangabeko, mule wo mwedi au she. Omuwa shike una okufuta e gigs. Genge ouno mito yo kudimona pahe na omangabeko. Navali, otoduro kuwa tifota, nukutopo lafana yo pamwe. Nova pepi bona ave gashi wahara download oka e paketu ile utarele posita ikeshe sho parates bo e pina ave e mangono marandura fano odo dino kurandura power your next chip stream call with parates
always always yes sir. And that was the death of Bidvest Wits.
And how much did you, you mentioned try been given 48 hours. How much work did you try to do behind the scenes just to avoid the demise of, I mean, I heard the numbers that were thrown around about how much the club ended up being sold for compared to its legacy of a century.
No, Raymond Heck and I, and also I must mention that Raymond, I brought in Raymond because... He was a student. He was a lot lower than me. I was by then a lecturer, and Raymond was running the law soccer team. And I brought him onto the committee because he always spoke at meetings, like a true lawyer. So I thought, okay, let's get him onto the committee. We can keep him quiet. Anyway, I brought in Raymond, and he got very involved in the team. It was really an asset to help me with the running of the club and the team. And going back to the Bidvest days, then Raymond was the person who'd secured an agreement from a sponsor.
Within that 48-hour space?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. One of the, I presume, his clients... than that.
Yeah.
And Bidvest wanted to know on Monday, and the company said, look, we have to call a meeting for a thing like this. They can't do it. They need it 2-3 weeks. And
they were not willing to wait that long.
No.
What was the urgency to get rid of a club with such a legacy?
I don't know. You'd have to ask Bidvest. And Bidvest took the club. Oh, because you see, one of the things that we knew, we got Bidvest as a sponsor. Mm. The university owned the club, owned 53%.
Yes.
And then we had to fix up the stadium, and the university didn't have the funds to fix it up. So Bidvest lent the money to the club.
And they got their clause.
And they bought... They increased their shareholding to 51%.
Yeah.
So that closed the door completely. Bidvest bought it. They not bought it. They took it over. They sold it for a pittance.
Yeah.
Because the players, if you worked out, were then subsequently sold for about three times of what they sold the club for.
100%. 3 years after winning championship, signing top players that were now Bafana players. I mean, the true value of a top flight club is what, around 60, 80 million?
Yeah, but they weren't football people. Mm. And they wanted to get out of soccer. They had this asset which they wanted to sell to a particular person, I think, for various reasons. And it was, as I say, sold for a pittance. Mm. Because if we would have got that money, we could have bought a franchise and carried on.
100%, 100%. But the money that was given out was nowhere near.
No,
it's worth it. Probably just a lower division team.
Yeah, the players were worth more than they. I think I sold it for 25 million.
Some of them left as free agent, Prof.
Yeah. The players, what they sold, really, I think 3-4 players would have covered their 25 million. And so that was a sad part of my life. It was sort of like the death of a baby.
Mm.
I'd brought up the club, I'd lived with the club and developed it. And suddenly, under my feet, this thing disappeared.
Mm.
And it happened really within a couple of days.
Mm. It really was like this, you know.
The decision made, boom, goodbye.
There were denials, but eventually, when the news was confirmed, it was a snap of a finger. Really.
Yeah. And so that was the demise of Bidvest Fitz. University didn't have money to come to the party. Universities are broke generally.
Mm-hmm.
And the last thing they would want to do is go and spend more money on a soccer club, a professional club.
Now, I heard a little birdie was telling me that Raymond Heck and a few others were trying, as you were saying, like, just behind closed doors in that 48 hours, they tried something, but it didn't happen. But is it totally gone? Is the door shut completely on ever having Wits University return to?
I hope there's one or two people who would like to resuscitate it, graduates. The sad part is was Wits's 100th anniversary last year.
Yeah.
And Wits, by the way, were the biggest, gave Wits, the Wits Soccer Club, gave Wits the biggest coverage in the news media.
100%. I would know. I'm a Wits alumni, so yeah. I know all about it, yeah.
So, look, one or two people are trying, but you've got to get somebody who's dedicated, who says, I'm going to run the club, and I'm prepared to put in the money.
Mm. But what about, I'm just throwing it out there, the idea of buying a lower division franchise and using that to generate sponsorship and come back to top flight. I mean, everybody is buying statuses these days. Why doesn't the university get into that?
Universities don't work that way. they don't think about it that way. You need somebody with a lot of money to come in. And the sad part is now the university got a massive donation from one of the ex-players, which was worth millions and millions.
Mm.
And if we would have had that money,
then
we would have
survived.
We would have survived. Suddenly, this has got the best floodlights in the country because the condition was all his total donation to the university had to be spent on soccer, on the soccer club.
Mm.
And when I say he gave millions, he gave millions. I can't disclose.
Big money, yeah.
But he lives in the States.
So it was in dollars, and when
it was in dollars, it was big money.
Yeah.
And Now, what do you do with this money? And if you go to Wits Stadium now, you'll see it's changed quite substantially.
Mm-hmm.
You'll see lovely floodlights, new entrances, new seating.
Yes. Would have loved to have it in those days.
Yeah. And nobody to play there.
Yeah. Speaking of, the university grounds, I want to get a little bit into your sort of day-to-day nowadays. You always often, when the season starts, come under serious flack for, oh, but Prof said our venue is not good enough. Maybe take us into your confidence about what it takes to go and assess a venue and deem it good enough for top flight football, and you know, some clubs having to now find alternative venues. What does that take? What does that look like?
I think first of all, you've got to be very thick skinned.
As you are, Prof, as you are.
Because you're going to get criticized. I was chased out of one town because I closed Toyendo Stadium, and they organized a crowd to follow me around, and put it this way, I'm still not and was not the most popular person
in Toyendo general,
all over.
But how could you close Toyendo Stadium, Prof? It's a stadium for the people.
If you look at all the stadiums in Ekurhuleni, the 8 stadiums, not one of them meets the minimum requirements of the league. If you think about it, Vos Loris, Huntersfield, Makalong, all these stadiums, we can't use them because they don't meet the minimum requirements of the league. And my job is to go to a stadium and to see that the stadium, first of all, is not going to fall down. Let me give you an example. We went to Kimberley, and there's a stadium in the township. I can't... The name
for Upington? Is this for Upington City?
There's a stadium in Kimberley.
Okay.
There's De Beers Stadium, which doesn't meet any requirements, and there's another stadium in the township, which wasn't too bad a couple of years ago. But what happened...
Who wanted to play there?
I'm going back a few years, I can't remember.
Okay.
And I went there and I said, this whole place can collapse. This one column was flapping in the wind like this.
Mm.
And if that grandstand was full, it would have probably collapsed. So my function is really to look at the safety at stadiums, enough gates, enough entry points, things like that, to try and avoid crushes. You know, we've insisted every stadium has at the entrances, rails to direct people to the turnstiles, so you can't have a mob pushing. And every stadium has enough entry points.
Mm.
We're now saying one entry point to one turnstile for 800 people. Before, we never had turnstiles in the olden days.
Mm.
So people could push in and things like that. And we're looking at exit gates. How do you get out of the stadium if there's trouble?
Mm.
And I was in the Free State in Bethlehem.
Oh, that's my hometown, actually.
At the stadium there.
Gobble Park. For the upcoming NetBank fixtures.
And I said, you guys gave you a list about 4 or 5 years ago of what had to be done. You had to have these rails, what we call chutes, to direct people into the stadium. You had to have an extra number of exit gates. You had to number the gates.
Mm-hmm.
You had to number the exit gates. You had to put a sign, right of admission reserved. Now, these are simple things. And structurally.
Mm.
So, they were given this list, as I say, about 5 or 6 years ago. They hadn't done it.
Mm.
Now there's a mad panic, And the municipality is saying, yo, we're going to get everything ready.
If Free State Stars played there, I mean, it's a few years back, but you think the stadium, to some degree, given that there are lower division matches that occasionally take place there, why would you then have to still make sure that it's approved for play?
Because I think we first of all, after the World Cup, don't forget, your legislation changed. There was a lot of new legislation that came in, which specifically related to crowd control and things like that, whether you had 2,000 people or not. You know, I'll give you an example. If you have more than 2,000 people in a stadium, you've got to get a compliance certificate from the municipality about the structure and everything. You've got to have a turnstile. Now, okay, Free State Stadium, Gobel Park, complied with a whole lot of things. Now, so Gobel Park, because Free State Stars have been out of the league for quite a while, things have changed. And also the maintenance standards had dropped. So one had to look at it and say, look, there's no game unless you do A, B, C, and D. And then the most critical thing, and I haven't mentioned this, is the pitch. You can have the best stadium in the world. If you don't have a decent pitch, we will not allow teams to play there. Simple as that. F&B, fantastic. But if it doesn't have a good pitch, you can't play. I closed down Loftus the other day.
You came under some serious
flak. I came under a hell of a lot of flak. various stadiums in Durban I've done. And again, that's for the point of view of the safety of the players. You can't have a stadium with a pitch where the sprinkler system has deteriorated and there are holes all over in the field, and a player's boot can catch in there and he can break a leg and things like that. So my function is to look at the overall picture of the stadium from the point of view of the spectators and the point of view of the players, and also from the TV. In other words, what is the lighting of the stadium? Does it meet it a requirement level?
You'll be a sight for sore eyes.
Yeah,
when I'm watching it on.
You can't. Some of the clubs want to play, and just using a technical thing, the lighting level's 400 lux. Now, the minimum lux we would accept is 900, and we prefer 1,200 for TV in that.
Prof, you mentioned that, I mean, some areas of the country spoiled for choice in terms of stadia, but where is it that the PSL is lacking in terms of maybe when there are new entrants into the top flight space or professional space and you have to go assess? And, you know, we had Orbit, for instance, for a few good games playing away from Rustenburg, because I would imagine that Olympia Park was in shambles.
Well, it's still not 100%. You can't have big crowds there because of the west side of the stadium. That whole stand has been condemned. It's just not safe. And it should be demolished. And even if leave put grass there. So it's a pity. There's a stadium, only stadium in Rustenburg, and nobody's really interested. They have athletics there. And there are quite a few. The problem is with a lot of the municipalities not looking after the stadiums. That I found is the biggest problem. And one of the problems we have is Cape Town. We only have two stadiums in Cape Town.
Yeah, the Cape Town clubs have been crying. John Committees has been crying about the Cape Town situation.
Cape Town, we have two stadiums. The Cape Town Stadium, the main one.
And Athlone.
And that's it. and all the other stadiums don't meet any requirements.
Sure.
And they, the municipality is not interested in fixing it up. And Stellenbosch is again a university stadium, but limited capacity. And who could play this? Stellenbosch, you can't play Chiefs and Pirates. Yeah, see?
I was there when there was that incident in the cup game, and so it was quite scary.
Again, what do you, it's unfair on the Cape Town teams that they can't get a home ground. And they, to give you an example now, with the carnival and things like that, Cape Town City couldn't use the stadiums. And you get Cape Town City going up, and you have two teams, Stellenbosch, Cape Town City, and maybe another team, Cape Town Spurs, coming back. You have 3-4 teams in Cape Town. We've got major problems. Mm. And the municipality there doesn't seem to be that interested. Again, I think our problem is we're still inheriting the rugby concept. And also not to have games in certain urban areas for various reasons. Mm. So there's still a lot going on. If you take a place like Polokwane's got 3 stadiums.
Yeah.
If you bring in Shishecha, and there's in the surrounding area, there are a whole lot of stadiums that can be used. Mm. But they've got people who are interested in football, who'll do everything to try and get football there to develop. What a lot of these places don't realize is that whenever there's a big soccer match, that helps generate economy in the community.
Mm.
And then especially in our situation, when there's a game, all the mamas come out selling their wares and things like that, and we support by playing at a certain stadium. Mm. We're supporting probably another 3-4 people for that week or the next for 2 weeks. Mm. And we need that in all the major areas.
Yeah.
And what, as I say, what upsets me is Ekurhuleni, which has a big population going all the way from Vosloorus right through to Tsakani. We're not using a stadium. And they could, at least 2 or 3 stadiums could be fixed up.
No, 100%. Prof, the last 2 points I want to draw your attention to is, one, with all this talk about VAR, we don't own stadiums. You and I have had that conversation. You know, does that, you know, stall the VAR process for even longer? And the other point I want to get your thoughts on, the Orlando Stadium getting a rebrand and being renamed Orlando Amstel Arena. I think that's huge for South African football. Let's start with the VAR element.
Well, first of all, we can't do VAR. The league wanted to set up VAR, but it falls under SAFA. Mm. So we can't introduce that. The second problem is that the stadiums then will have to be geared for VAR. We will have to have commentary boxes where the TV can be connected up and where people can sit. Now, certain of the smaller stadiums don't have those facilities. They may have a VIP section, but then they're going to have to give up their VIP section for VAR. And I don't think that'll go down well with some of the mayors and these small towns.
That's not happening.
So, is there a need for VAR? I think so.
We all agree on that, yeah.
But at this stage, I don't think we're ready. The stadiums aren't ready for it. And as I say, we can't do it ourselves.
Mm.
So there's no point in the clubs and the PSL investing in trying to improve stadiums. It's not our business, by the way. Mm. But even if we had to think that way, it may not be used.
Sure. So all this talk, the deadline is even longer because obviously the sports ministry says, no, we've given the federation money to implement, but there's other challenges that maybe aren't being spoken about.
Look, we may be able to get around it by putting a temporary scaffolding and building an enclosed area on top of that scaffolding. We can look at this. It's, nothing's impossible. Mm. If the money's there, we can do it. Mm. Put it that way.
Speaking of money, I'm still pouring some money into, excuse the pun, into Orlando Stadium. What do you think of that? I mean, that's good for South African football. That
I think that's fantastic. Mm. I think congratulations to the breweries and to Amstel. It's nice to see companies whose products are used, especially in the black community.
100%.
And where
they know their market.
Where their market is, putting something back. And congratulations to Pirates for getting that sponsorship and to the stadium. I think if some of the other companies look at this, maybe that'll wake them up. And they'll state, well, why don't we sponsor this stadium? Why don't we sponsor that? They've done that with the rugby. Kings Park Rugby has a sponsor. Mm. But none of the other stadiums have sponsor. Mm. So we've got our problem is, and it's slowly changing. We've got to look at who are the captains of industry. And how's that changing? And as it changes, I think more money will be invested in sport because soccer is, and I must say this, the black community has been raised in soccer. Mm. So there's more an affiliation to soccer than, say, to rugby and cricket. And we need also to see the schools playing soccer. What's happened to our Wednesday leagues? Why aren't we playing soccer at some of the high schools? Why any rugby? You know, these are the questions that need to be asked. What do the students want to play? And if we're going to help develop the sport, we need to get the same facilities as rugby and cricket have for pupils at schools.
100%, Prof. Prof, thank you so much for your time. I think we need a part two because I feel like we didn't do justice to, you know, the early days of your career in going into administration, what you went through, seeing the different eras change from, you know, the apartheid era to, you know, where we are now as a country and what that looked like for you in administration and a whole lot of other things in your day-to-day work at the PSL as well, what you do for South African football. And just to pay tribute and homage to you as well, you know, I know you don't get your flowers a lot. It's more criticism than praise, but, you know, we at Behind the Boot with Super Journal would want to do that for part two again, but once again, thank you for joining us for a lovely chat exclusive to us here and just to get a lay of the land. Thank you so much, Professor.
No, thanks for having me. I enjoyed it, and I just think that soccer, I'm taking your time, but soccer deserves much more from government than it gets. And we should be treated on a fair basis, better than rugby and cricket because of the popularity of the game and because of the disadvantaged facilities that we're coming from. And I look at the schools, and you drive past in Pretoria, all the schools have grandstands and floodlights and things like that. Half our stadiums in the townships don't have grass. Look at all Alex Stadium today. Why aren't we playing in Alex? It's a question I ask myself. Right in the center, fantastic place, people living close by. But it needs fixing up. Where are local authorities putting something back?
Prof, I couldn't have said it better myself. We'll leave it at that. We'll let you.
You are now tuned in to the Eagle Sports Zone.
Brought to you by Premier Bet Namibia Totes. Create your account now at premierbet.com and use promo code Namibia264.
Okuchako NHP. Genge wa longi fai longi foli lipedu lo wa wo haku. Olo halipiti kwa efiku nefiku. Mefiloshi shelo haku oe. Owa washi mali wa oshosha kupako. Washika wet gelwa komto alando la kakashi. Koma punglo e na shano unjolo wele oe. Otodulo okulongi fa oma wa oe. Wa hupuko. Opo una miti toshiningi momikalo dihapungashi. Okufuti lapo oi mali wa ishona. Oyo hodulo okupolwa. Ulifuti la ove mwene. Oma kulo olu hapu hakala ina kwa telwa mowa we kwa folo elo unamiti ile otojulu no kuli okupiti fapo e mwedi donumba tokala ino futa ea kulolo elo unamiti kowya lele uhapu talela po nhp.com.na e mango no malandola fwana ododi na okulandulwa NHP rooted in care for you.
Your health, your life, your peace of mind. NHP, we're about you.
Want to know about Namibia's latest business and economic news? Then look no further than the Villager newspaper. The Villager is an e-paper that is published every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday for free, directly to your phone or computer. To become a subscriber, simply send a WhatsApp message with your number and email address to 081-200-4144. Be sure to save the phone number as a contact. The Villager, wherever you are.
My friend, why do you seem so worried?
Ace, I'm planning an event for next weekend, eh? And I don't know how to best get people to hear about it.
Saima, don't worry about those small things. Contact Eagle FM today. Eagle FM has a dedicated team that can travel anywhere countrywide to broadcast live at any event, such as a promotion, organizational launch, anniversary, wedding, funeral, political or traditional and church events, and basically any event that you wish to broadcast on a national level. Call them now and talk to Monica at 081-270-3727 or the office number 083-288-400. Eagle FM, the eye.
Eagle FM lets you express your constitutional rights of freedom of expression without fear of favor.
This is actually, to put it mildly, an economic scandal.
Fraud.
Not fraud, it's a scandal.
Scandal.
Why do you give a tender to somebody who does not have capacity to build? Why should you do that? You're the person that doesn't have the capacity to build.
Eagle FM lets you talk.
That's why I'm always telling people in Parliament, let me not take up my Katatura menace.
Right.
Because I grew up in Katatura.
Uh-huh.
And I will not hesitate to tell you off if it is needed to do.
Be part of the debate by setting the agenda.
My response in terms of Rwanda at 6%, is that we had been there before. We've had 6% growth before.
Mm.
It's not something that Namibia has not achieved in the past.
Mm.
And it's not something that Namibia will not be able to achieve in the future.
Eagle FM, the eye.
You are now tuned in to the Eagle Sports Zone.
Brought to you by Premier Bet Namibia Totes. Create your account now at premierbet.com and use promo code Namibia264. Premier Bet, win big, win now.
Welcome back to the Eagle Sports Zone. That was a conversation that PSO COO Professor Ronnie Schloss had with a South African podcast. And the reason I wanted us to listen to that conversation is, one, to bring up the importance of having people who have been there from the very beginning. Okay? South Africa, like Namibia, we know we had a dark history with the whole, it was a very different social climate 30 something years ago. Even more than 30 something years ago. Let's say 40 years ago, 50 years ago. It was a very different social climate that we had. And if you were listening to this conversation we had, now obviously Mr. Ronnie is a white man, but he was talking about how, you know, he's been involved in South African football from the very beginning, when it was against the law for him to do so. As we heard, he went to jail behind this as well. And he's been in South African football basically ever since. And he's been quite a polarizing figure, as you heard as well in the interview about his views and so on. But I think that it is of the utmost importance that gentlemen like him and women like him are involved in the sport of today, the sports of today. Reason why is because they always know how bad things were. Someone like myself has no matter how many documentaries I watch, no matter how many books I read, articles I read, I will have no tangible reference to how bad things could truly be. So I think that's one of the reasons why people like him should be involved in the decision making of sports. People that have seen the structure get built from the ground up. People that were there when the structure didn't even exist. People that thought of to build the structure. And that's why he, Mr. Ronnie, is still involved with the PSL today and probably will be until he is no longer with us. Right? And it made me think now, in the Namibian context, especially now when we're talking about football, in the Namibian context, who is the Ronnie Schloss in the Namibian context? Who is an example of an administrator, or whatever you want to call someone in that position, in the Namibian context? I can think of a few names, but I know that they're not involved anymore. So I would like to ask that question, is why are individuals such as this no longer involved in the decision making of Namibian sport? And of course we want new minds, we want fresh ideas, but I think it's also of the utmost importance to have gentlemen such as him and women of his ilk in the decision making process. And another point that he brought up that I want to raise is when he spoke about the facilities. No, South Africa, we speak a lot about how advanced they are in terms of the facilities, but he broke it down. He said, yes, you have your few areas that are blessed with infrastructure, but you have many, many, many other areas that are not. He spoke about the townships, spoke about the fields that don't even have grass in key areas. It's something we speak about here as well. And he spoke about how the maintenance of facilities is the responsibility of the municipalities. And how we spoke about some of them simply just do not care for said maintenance. And that is something we speak about on here, on the Eagle Sports Zone, quite often as well, is whenever it is that these infrastructures of ours get built, whenever that day comes when they're complete, is the maintenance of them is arguably more important than them actually being built. Because after 2 years, after 3 years, we don't want a situation. We don't want the situation that we're in now to happen after 2-3 years of these facilities being built, essentially. And there's the question we always raise on here. Is once these get built, who is going to take care of these things? Time will tell. as to how this is going to play out in the Namibian context. And then another point is when, in the beginning, when you spoke about the whole situation that's gone on with Bidvest and how they were given 48 hours, which is quite ridiculous, actually. It's actually comical that they were given 48 hours to get a new sponsor. Basically, the team is gone. That's something I didn't think was even possible in the professional sporting world. But it happened with them. And of course, they weren't able to do anything in said 48 hours. But yes, I wanted us to listen to that just to give an example of how quickly something substantial, something of importance, which was now the Wits, the Bidvest Wits side club that was, as we know, in conjunction with the university. We heard the history behind the team, the importance of the team, the groundbreaking feats that the team achieved. And then essentially within a blink of an eye, it was all gone. Why? All because of administrative malpractice. And that is something we see essentially on a yearly basis here on the local side of things. You know, like I read earlier at the beginning, I was talking about clubs like Black Africa. I was talking about clubs like Orlando Pirates. Before, we used to speak about clubs like Civics. We used to, on a smaller scale, we used to talk about clubs like SKW. You know, these were once great, great, great institutions and important to their respective communities in the country. And for various reasons, some internal, some external, some a mixture of both, while they exist in name, it's simply not the same anymore. I mean, Black Africa, for example, growing up, that was the when you spoke about Namibian football, that was the name, the club, the image everyone else aspired to be. You could say they're probably what African Stars is doing now is what Black Africa did back then. And it's sad that today, essentially, they don't exist. Only in name. But the impact, the stature is all gone. And so I say that to say, hopefully a situation like we see here with Wits, with Bidvest Wits, that we've seen with Black Africa, that we've seen with Civics, that we've seen with SKW, that we've seen with, you can name a number of clubs across different sports in the country, that trends like this don't continue to happen in the region and in particular in Namibia. The line in the studio is 083-288-401, 083-288-401. We'll take another quick musical break and we'll be back after this to round off the program. It is still 0-0 in the Manchester City-Liverpool fixture, which I suppose favors Arsenal, and you could say Manchester United as well. But yes, we will be right back.
Thank you. some metrics to this end. But you forgot the biggest party over there. Respect to Maximum Jagger. Me and the Rastafari with another combination. Look at me dressing and going crazy. My smoking thing got joined every day on the place. Yes, here we tell the big up.
Puranengeno wapumbwa Eva tere ulikoni maondo tuto ingida ashike kapeno nwe kudite opoye ekukurile oshafafa na nongeshe faili mehola mo iho etike kovano hile koshiwana onongeshe fa ya pumbwa kukaraya kovano okupitira mo Eagle FM otuna ebito da njuka okukwetira oipindi konu konda doini nawa nune udo otukwetira o special ange tashake ngeshe fa omarudi dayo loka opone ushendife nawa nokumona oijamo ili nawa ninge pata fano na Monica ko Eagle FM onore tatu imwe bali heali nola natu heali bali no heali ile kumberewa nora hetatu natu bali o hetatu batatu o mafilane Eagle FM the eye.
Want to know about Namibia's latest business and economic news? Then look no further than the Villager newspaper. The Villager is an e-paper that is published every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday for free, directly to your phone or computer. To become a subscriber, simply send a WhatsApp message with your number and email address to 081-200-4144. Be sure to save the phone number as a contact. The Villager, wherever you are.
You are now tuned in to the Eagle Sports Zone.
Brought to you by Premier Bet Namibia Totes. Create your account now at premierbet.com and use promo code Namibia264. Premier Bet, win big, win now.
Welcome back to the Eagle Sports Zone. Now there's one more short piece. I want us to hear from Mr. Ronnie Schloss that will tie everything together perfectly and reiterate the point I spoke about, how a once great institution can just disappear in the blink of an eye because of administrative malpractice. This was a year ago. Mr. Professor Schloss was talking to none other than Robert Malawa. Let's take a listen to this this excerpt.
Who would be useful to society? Mm-hmm. You wouldn't have to sell newspapers or dig on the side of the street. They could they'd get trades, or they, at least they'd have some qualification.
Or they would be making the news, not selling the papers, but they would be making the news, making the headlines.
Yeah.
Now, obviously, you would always speak fondly because that is your baby. It was your baby that, after 99 years of existence, then disappears. It disappears when the glory days are now starting to come through. You're able to win the league. You've got a Gavin Hunt who's doing so well and changing the fortunes of a team that we all remember back in 1978 winning the Mainstay Cup. And one of the most historical, most memorable Mainstay Cup finals ever in the history of football in this country. And then that 99-year-old baby is gone. No more Wit University. But Prof is still here. I don't even know how you feel today, Prof.
Oh, that is the saddest part, and really, in my football life, it's like losing a baby. It's something that you developed, and it overnight it happened, and I still have a lot of hard feelings about it, the way it was done, because the club could have been saved quite easily.
How though?
Raymond Hack and myself had got two companies involved who were interested in coming in, ex-Wits graduates. And we went along, and I don't want to mention the person's name from Bidvest, but he was the chairman at that stage. So you can figure
Brian Joffe.
No, Brian had retired.
Okay, yeah,
no, it would never have happened if Brian was there.
But I was going to come back to that. Because we interviewed Mr. Joffe a couple of times. He came through. We had a feature called The Chairman's Chair. And because he's a strict businessman, and he knew that football was not his forte in terms of understanding, so he would bring George, he would bring whoever the coach was at the time, so it would be Gavin Hunt, just to make sure that we cover, or they cover. And I said to him, don't worry about, I'm not going to ask you football-related questions. I want the business side of why you even got involved there. So, yeah, let's go back to the chairman of Bidvest. But now you got proposals with two other businessmen to try and save this entity. Then what happens?
We went to speak to him. I had a meeting with him. Raymond had a meeting with him. And we said, we've got this. We need time to resolve the issue.
Yeah.
And he said, I'll give you 48 hours. I said to him, you can't give us 48 hours. We're talking millions and millions of rands. Both these companies have to go to their board and say, we propose to sponsor the club. This is going to take a month or so. You can't do these things overnight. Mm. He says, either you come up with the money within so many days and that's it. I'm selling the club. I think it was to somebody in Limpopo.
Correct.
Basically, his mind had already been made up. And we tried, but we couldn't. It was impossible. You can't go and ask somebody for 15 million rand, and they're going to write a check out straight away.
Yeah.
They've got to go to their board. They've got to get permission.
Approval, yeah.
They've got to show to their board what are the benefits of that. And he just... the way it was handled was completely, as far as I'm concerned, unprofessional. And really, it shouldn't have been like that. We wouldn't have been sitting in the situation that we're in now.
Yes, there was Professor Schloss just once again emphasizing how the once great Bidvest Wits went from a pillar of South African football to just not existing anymore. Simply because, basically because someone didn't want them to exist anymore. But that is all the time I have for today. We'll be back same time, same place next week on Sunday at 6 p.m. to 8 p.m. as per usual. After me now is the Matriarch coming up shortly. And don't forget, the Villager will be published tomorrow. So send us messages on WhatsApp if you'd like to become a subscriber and you're not a subscriber already. The number in the studio is 081-241-4144. Make sure to save the number as a contact and you will receive the Villager bright and early tomorrow morning. That is all I have time for today. I'll see you same time, same place next week, Sunday.
There's too many of you crying. Brother, 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 there's far too many of you dying. You know we've got to find a way to bring some loving here today. Yeah. Father, Father, we don't need escalate. See, war is not the answer, for only love can conquer hate. You know we've got to find a way to bring some love and get here today. Oh, picket lines and picket signs, don't punish me with brutality. Sister, talk to me, sister, so you can see, sister, oh, what's going on. Simply cause our hair is long. Oh, you know that we've got to find a way. Bring some understanding here today. Oh, oh, oh. Pick it loud and pick it sound. Don't punish me with brutality. Come on, talk to me. You can't see what's going on. Yeah, what's going on? Tell me what's going on. I'll tell you what's going on. Right.